There are traitors all around us, but we are watching them, my friend. We will strike back.
Forgive me. You were always my friend.
I have nothing to forgive you for.
Man who can sacrifice even his best friend is a man without weakness.
I am innocent!
Go out!
You have done nothing!
Out!
Fire.
Traitors being shot. Since taking control of Iraq in 1979, Saddam Hussein has become increasingly isolated.
Tell it all down! Everything! I want everything destroyed!
A town's demolished.
Is that her?
She is pretty. She is married.
24 years later, an international coalition set out to remove him from power.
Tell me! Tell them why. Tell them why you killed my brother.
Sajida, go shopping.
This is the story of the final months after the 2003 invasion, based on the facts that are known.
Make sure it's done properly, Ali. In the Bedouin way.
Ali shoots Hussein.
America wants to control Iraq. They will never give up until I'm gone.
House of Saddam.
Many Iraqis can hear me tonight in a translated broadcast, and I have a message for them. If we must begin a military campaign, it will be directed against the lawless men who rule your country, and not against you. We will tear down the apparatus of terror, and we will help you to build a new Iraq that is prosperous and free. In a free Iraq, there will be no more wars of aggression against your neighbors. No more poison factories. No more executions of dissidents. No more torture chambers and rape rooms. The tyrant will soon be gone. The day of your liberation is near.
March 2003. A convoy of luxury saloons, accompanied by a military truck, are driving along a hot, dusty road. They pull up outside the Central Bank of Iraq. Several armed soldiers exit the vehicles, followed by Qusay. The soldiers stand guard around the entrance to the bank. Qusay flashes a piece of paper at the bank manager as he marches past.
This letter makes everything legal and proper.
Yes, sir.
You are to hand over this amount of gold, US dollars and euros. If America invades Baghdad, the first thing they will do is raid our banks. This is by order of the president.
The bank manager unlocks the vault, where piles of gold bullion and cash are kept. Flashes from explosions in Baghdad illuminate the night sky.
Make sure your mother and sisters have money, gold, and make sure they listen. They must leave the country immediately. No argument.
Yes, Baba.
We will not be staying together. We must protect the dynasty. We keep moving until the Americans are defeated. You have your own money?
Yes. Yes, Baba.
Good. Now go. Allah will keep you safe. Say.
Saddam and Qusay embrace.
Take care of your brother.
I will.
Uday.
Baba.
Saddam hugs Uday and kisses him. Qusay turns and nods at Saddam as they leave. Saddam sits back down and addresses his servant.
2 minutes, Mohammed.
Mohammed shuffles backwards, and Saddam stares at a poster depicting a young, proud-looking image of himself. American bombs rain down on the city, erupting into huge fireballs. Rakhad pulls up outside the palace.
Rana, wait here. Mustafa, come with me.
As Rakhad and Mustafa approach the house, more children get out of the car.
No, 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 Habibti, you stay there. I'll be 1 minute.
Rakhad, thank God you're here.
Where is Mama?
Inside, she's packing.
Why is she packing?
That's why I told her. Go. Jose called. He wants Mustafa to wait for him.
Mama, what are you doing? We can buy new glasses.
But you like these. These are special.
Mama, they are not important. We have to go. Come on, Mustafa, the suitcases. Hala, quickly.
Sajida reluctantly abandons the glassware and framed family photos. She glances sadly at the palace as she leaves. They put their cases into the car. Raghad to Mustafa.
Mustafa, come with us. Your father will understand.
No. I want to wait.
Okay. Raghad gets back into the car. As they pull away, Sajida looks out of the window at the palace with a mournful expression on her face. Mustafa standing alone on the driveway, watching them leave. Saddam follows Mohammed outside. Mohammed dutifully opens the door of a parked car for Saddam, whilst nervously scanning the area. They drive away, whilst in the distance, the Baghdad skyline flashes with sporadic explosions. If I die, you will not find a finger left of me, and you will all die with me. A quote from Saddam Hussein. 6 weeks later, American tanks are trundling through the smouldering ruins of Tikrit, Iraq. Two men are walking through the devastated streets, wearing flowing tunics, their faces disguised by their long headdresses. They walk past several American soldiers on patrol.
I can't believe we're doing this. We must be mad.
Never forget you're a servant, Mohammed. My servant.
Keeping their faces hidden, Saddam and Mohammed approach a phone booth in the dusty street. Saddam enters the booth, whilst Mohammed remains outside, keeping a lookout. Helicopters buzz overhead as he makes a call. He uncovers his face to speak, revealing a full beard.
Yes, who is it?
Samira, it's me. This is the last time I will be able to call you.
It's so good to hear your voice. They keep on saying you've been killed. I don't know what to think.
Samira, I don't want you to worry about me. You think about yourself. Lebanon will be a good place for you.
Will you come?
He considers for a moment.
No. Is your money safe? Samira?
Yes. I miss you.
Saddam hangs up, leaving Samira clutching the phone on the other end, looking distraught. Saddam lingers, holding the phone tightly in his fist, his face filled with emotion. Mohammed appears agitated and moves closer to the phone booth.
Excellency, we must go.
Saddam leaves the booth and covers his face with the end of his headdress. They walk off together, along the street past burnt-out cars and piles of rubble. June 2003, Tigris River, near Tikrit.
The search for the deposed Iraqi dictator, Saddam Hussein, continued today, with U.S. troops making a number of arrests.
Saddam, whose sons have also gone into hiding, is believed to have fled to the area around his hometown of Tikrit, along with a small band of his most trusted servants.
Army sources yesterday gave credence to reports that Saddam may have been killed in one of the first strikes of the war.
In the most recent sighting of the deposed dictator, citizens of Najaf claim to have seen Saddam queuing for petrol at a filling station on the outskirts of the town.
A young boy emerges from the river and climbs up the bank. He hears something.
Who's there? Who is it? Show yourself or I'll beat you.
The boy advances confidently towards the bush, but recoils with fear when a disheveled Saddam steps out.
Who are you?
I'm Ahmed.
It is your father's name.
Ali Mufid al-Azza.
You know who I am?
No, sir.
You haven't seen me before?
No, sir.
And perhaps it would be better if you hadn't seen me today.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Go now. And say nothing if you want to live.
Saddam watches closely as the young boy scurries away. Saddam follows the river through the woodland, wearing a long tunic, checkered headdress, and carrying a small cloth sack. His beard is flecked with grey hairs. He arrives at a small shack hidden away amongst the trees. The rudimentary shelter has a flat metal roof and a simple set of table and chairs outside.
Ahmed! Ahmed!
Mohammed emerges from the shack.
What news from the front?
I have not heard anything. Excellency, I didn't expect you back so soon.
Where is Allah?
Getting more oil from the house.
There was a boy at the river, the son of Ali Mufid al-Azza. Find out if Qais knows him.
We will check it out straight away.
And prepare the recording equipment. I must write a speech to rally the people.
Mohammed's preparing firewood, looking tired and distressed.
When my people hear this speech, Allah, they will be inspired to even greater sacrifice.
Saddam's writing his speech in a notebook.
Great Iraqi people, keep up the fight against the occupiers. Good.
Ants crawl over the paper on which he's writing his speech.
Mr. President, the equipment is ready when you are.
I'm ready now. The ants have come back.
I will spray them again.
Saddam enters the shack, and with a final scan of the area, Mohammed follows him. Saddam sits down in front of a microphone, wearing his reading glasses.
Would you like some water?
No, I will be fine.
Mohammed switches on the recorder.
In the name of God, the most merciful, we praise our messengers and their followers in life. In the next life, they will have justice. Iraqi people, keep up the fight against the occupiers.
The recording smuggled to a journalist.
The occupiers have unveiled their intentions and plans to occupy and divide Iraq. What will the two liars, Bush and Blair, say to their people and to humanity? What they said was wrong and baseless. The lies were known to the President of the United States and to the Prime Minister of Britain when they decided to wage war on Iraq. Great Iraqi people,
whoever is able to and does not present himself, his son, and his money to evict the invaders from Iraq, God will be watching and will punish him.
Saddam's family hear it on TV.
Long live the nation! Long live the great Iraqi people!
That was the voice of Saddam Hussein.
At least we know he's alive.
He's alive, and Iraq will keep it that way.
Meanwhile, in Najaf, more mass graves belonging to victims of Saddam's murderous regime have been discovered. Earlier today, relatives of more than 3,000 Shia brutally murdered by Saddam and his followers gathered to sift through the bones and identify their loved ones. In all,
American
up to half
propaganda.
A million Iraqis are believed to have been...
Rana turns off the TV.
Will they be looking for us?
Here, in Syria. The Americans.
It's no secret where we are.
We haven't done anything wrong. Why would they be looking for us?
They wouldn't. We have all that money and the gold.
We have nothing that doesn't belong to us, Harlow. And nothing to hide.
Mohammed's tending to a campfire outside the shack. Allah's sitting at the table, using a mortar and pestle, and Saddam's in the kitchen area, chopping herbs.
I tell you, Mohammed, when this is over, you will be able to cook better than your mother. Who cooks for you normally? Before we came here.
Well, I'm married to my cousin, but she's not a good cook.
So, you eat away from home.
Mohammed looks embarrassed.
Oh. Don't tell me I have found the weak spot in my bodyguard's armor.
Maybe.
Well, who is she?
Her name is Sarah. She lives in Baghdad. I want to ask her to marry me, but I'm afraid she will refuse.
Clever girl.
I'm sure she doesn't want to become a second wife. And my family will not allow me to divorce my cousin.
Well, they may be right.
One wife is enough trouble.
More than enough.
Mohammed notices a truck driving past.
Everyone get back inside.
What is it?
A vehicle.
A jeep?
I'm not sure, Mr. President, but it would be better if you went back inside.
They've stopped.
Mohammed aims his rifle at the vehicle. The driver clicks his walkie-talkie, which comes through at Allah's end.
It's Qais. Why didn't he signal sooner?
The truck starts moving again and heads towards the shack along a dirt track. Saddam steps outside and watches the truck pull up. Qais steps out, holding a tray of eggs.
Why didn't you click earlier?
I did.
You could have been shot. We thought you were the Americans.
Allah, I did click earlier.
Then recharge your batteries.
Food is ready. You will eat with us.
That's very kind, Excellency, but I have to get back. The curfew.
What was the point in coming?
The Americans. They are preparing for more raids tonight. They have raised their target for the number of arrests. We have good information.
So where will these raids be?
Mainly in Tikrit. But they could also sweep the river day or night.
Good. Move. I need to piss.
Saddam rushes off into the bush.
He shouldn't be going to the river. He will do what he wants to do. I have to go back. Stay alert.
Change your batteries.
Qais pauses, as if to respond, but continues silently to his truck. July 2003. Mosul, Iraq.
I hate all this moving around.
We have no choice. We have to keep moving, or the Americans will find us.
Uday, Qusay, and Mustafa are in a car.
Why here? Zaidan may be our cousin, but he fucking hates us.
Abdul Samad, just go.
It's true.
Their bodyguard gets out of the car.
We should be out of the country with the gold. We can organize just as easily from across the border.
It's okay.
The bodyguard knocks on the front door of a house.
Abdul Samad.
Who's with you in the house?
What are you doing here?
Zaidan, open the door.
Why? What do you want?
Open the door or I'll kick it down.
Zaydan lets him inside.
We need shelter for a couple of days. That's it. Security means we haven't been able to tell you till now.
Zaydan? Zaydan?
Go back inside. I'm talking business.
Come, come.
Come
inside.
Who is we? Oday and Qusay. And Qusay's son, Mustafa.
No.
2-3 days, no more.
No chance.
Send you off to your sister.
No, I said no. Didn't you hear me? What are you trying to do? Get my family killed? Why the hell did you bring them here?
Zaydan, if you refuse them, how long do you think you'll last? A month? A week? A day? And they'll pay you.
2 days. No more.
Qusay and Uday are in the bedroom. Qusay is unpacking his bag and takes out a rifle.
It's less than an hour from here to the border.
I am not listening.
Well, you should!
It makes sense. What if things get worse, huh?
Alerted by the knocking, they both stand up, holding their handguns.
Who is it?
It's me, Zaydan.
Uday answers the door, and Qusay places his gun down on a pile of money.
Yes.
I just wanted to check you had everything you need.
We have everything. Thank you, Zaydan.
What's mine is yours.
Really?
Uday looks at a woman folding sheets.
Can I ask, how long do you think you might be staying? I will need to arrange food, supplies and such, and there may be other expenses.
Qusay picks up a wad of dollar bills.
This will cover your expenses.
Uday shoves the money at Zaydan.
Now piss off.
Thank you.
Uday closes the door with a dark, brooding expression on his tired face. Qais arrives at Saddam's hideout. He throws a package for Allah to catch, then takes a seat.
Allah, the extractor fan, for the hole.
It's the wrong size.
It's all I could get.
I suppose I'll have to try to make it work. The hole is useless without it.
Is there something you need to say, Qais?
Your leaflets are being distributed in town. They have been posted on all public buildings.
Mohammed unravels one of the posters and flicks Saddam a serious look. He hands the poster to Saddam. It features his photograph surrounded by Arabic text.
There's a price on Uday and Qusay's head as well.
They think they're in the Wild West. They believe everything has a price. It is of no concern. Iraqi honor cannot be bought. I am going to the river to fish.
Kai shrugs his shoulders at Mohammed as Saddam heads towards the river. Allah goes over to Mohammed and reads the wanted poster.
25 million dollars. That's a lot of money. He has a greater opinion of Iraqi honor than you or I.
Qais and Mohammed share a concerned look. Holding one of the wanted posters, Zaydan approaches a heavily armed US military command post.
Oh, state your business, sir.
My name is Nawaf al-Zaydan. I have information which may be of interest to your commander.
John!
Keep going, John!
Look at that building down on your left. Take him through!
After being searched, Zaydan passes through the security blockade. Saddam's by the river.
What are you doing?
Do you like to fish, my friend?
The boy, Ahmed, approaches.
Come here. Come. Help me with this.
I used to fish with my brothers, but they are in the army now.
They bring honor to your family. I have brothers. But when I was your age, I had to leave them. My stepfather beat me, so I ran away. But by running away, I discovered what it was I had to do. My true destiny. You didn't mention meeting me to anyone, did you?
No.
Good. Good.
But I know who you are.
Saddam looks surprised.
So who am I?
Saddam Hussein, president of Iraq. My father says you'll still kick out the Americans.
And do you think he's right?
I don't know. They took him 2 nights ago.
A helicopter flies over Baghdad, and some army trucks pass along the empty roads. At Zayden's house, Mustafa's asleep on the sofa. Beside him, on the coffee table, is a pack of playing cards and several piles of cash. Kusey emerges from his room and looks out of the window to see several US Army trucks pulling up outside the house. He rushes into the neighboring room.
Mustafa, wake up! Zayden! Huday, get up. Something's going on outside. Abdul Samad! Where the fuck is Zaydan?
Zaydan!
Mustafa, get up!
Fuck! How long have they been there?
How do I know?
Zaydan!
They gather their weapons.
Zaydan!
The bodyguard checks each of the rooms.
Zaydan is gone!
What?
Bastard. He sold us out!
I knew it! Didn't I tell you he'd sell us out?
Mustafa, check the backstairs. Abdul Samad, take the balcony.
Mustafa peers through the back door. Soldiers are advancing on the house.
Baba! They're out there, Baba! They're coming!
Kusey rushes to the top of the stairs to confront several US soldiers on their way up. He fires his rifle, taking one soldier down. He pulls Mustafa to one side.
Come on. Take this. Now listen, don't let anybody up those stairs, okay? You can do it. Okay, listen to me, you can do it. Abdul Samad, keep an eye on Mustafa.
There's a fucking army out there.
Mustafa takes a gun and aims it at the top of the stairwell. Kusey grabs another gun and joins Uday in the bedroom. They take shelter either side of the window and glance out at the soldiers and armored vehicles in the street below.
What do we do now?
We either die now or we hang in a month.
I don't want to die now.
Then fight. Fight.
This is the commander of the American 101st Airborne Division, part of the International Coalition Forces. You are surrounded. Come out slowly with your arms in the air, and you will not be harmed. This will be your only warning.
So, we die.
Uday's crying.
Go!
Kusey and Uday open fire. The bodyguard starts to shoot out of another window, bullets ricocheting off the walls around him. The US soldiers take cover behind their armored trucks. Uday and Kusey dive to the floor as a hail of gunfire rips through the metal grille covering the window. They jump back onto their feet and retaliate with a barrage of bullets. The exterior wall surrounding the window is peppered with holes as the US soldiers shoot back. Mustafa's panicking, unsure which way to aim his rifle. The bodyguard runs between rooms, but a sniper shoots him through the chest.
Mustafa! Mustafa! Are you okay?
I'm okay, Baba. They got Abdul Samad!
Get down! Get down! Get down! Get down!
Fuck.
Get down! Fuck.
They're hurled across the room as a tank blows a hole through the side of the building. American dollar bills rain down through the dust on top of the bloodied corpses of Uday and Kusey. Mohammed sitting outside Saddam's hideout. He leaps to his feet when he hears a vehicle approaching. He picks up the walkie-talkie, but hears nothing from the other end.
Mr. President, you have to hide.
What is it?
A car. It's coming very fast.
It's not Qais?
No clicks. We need to get you into the hall.
Is it ready?
It will have to be.
He opens the lid to a hole in the ground.
Excellency, they are almost here.
A light. I have no light.
There is no time. Here, take this.
Mohammed gives Saddam a handgun and hastily slots the lid back into place. He roughly covers the lid with a rug and rushes over to confront the speeding car.
Allah! Why didn't you signal? You frightened the life out of us.
Where is the president?
He's safe. Why didn't you signal?
Where is the president?
I had to put him in the hole.
They pull off the lid, and Saddam fires his gun.
No, no, Mr. President,
Mr. President,
shoot.
No! Please,
what
please,
was it?
Guys, please,
what
Mr.
are
president,
you trying to do to me?
Mr. President,
kill me!
Mr. President, please,
how
please,
long
please,
am I
please,
supposed please. To survive without air to breathe? And you? You have built me nothing but a coffin! But why?
President, it's not finished yet.
Then why? Why am I lying inside it? Why? Is it dollars you are after?
No, 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 please, please,
finish
no.
it!
Why is the Palik?
Why is the Palik Qais?
Mr. President, Uday Qusay and the little Mustafa have been killed.
Saddam shuffles to a halt as the news sinks in. He looks numb. He slowly turns round to face the others. They bow their heads, unable to meet his gaze. A hate-filled fury begins to rage behind his eyes. Now Saddam's sitting on the riverbank, wearing a contemplative expression. The young boy, Ahmed, walks over to him.
My son's dead.
Ahmed picks up a rock and throws it into the river. Saddam stares at the concentric circles spreading out across the water.
Trusted by their father, feared and loathed by the people. For years, Kusey and his older brother Uday were at the very center of Saddam Hussein's empire.
The only comment I will make about the death of the sons is that it's a great day for the Iraqi people and a great day for the American military.
Uday's sadism was legendary. Many reports of women raped, sportsmen who missed victory tortured, one man publicly beaten to death by him.
Kusey was the tactician who emerged as his father's heir apparent, in charge of Iraq's powerful and widely feared security apparatus. Their deaths have deprived the coalition of the chance to question them. Next to Saddam himself, no one would have known the secrets of his regime better than them. But for the moment, among the vast majority of...
Sajida looks devastated.
There is reason to celebrate. Here in Baghdad, people are giving their...
We have to be strong and take care of ourselves now. The Syrians can't protect us. They'll find us here. They put my son's bodies on television and showed them to the world.
Why?
I don't know, Mama.
It's over, isn't it? It's all over.
There are people who love us. We should leave Syria. We'll go to Jordan. We have the money. We will be safe there.
Raghad puts her arms around her mother. Saddam and Mohammed are walking through the woods in the dark. Qais appears.
A patrol has just passed down the far bank. That should give us at least half an hour until the next one passes.
No, no. We go this way. It's shorter.
Where are the Americans?
We have organized a distraction, but we must hurry. That will not be long.
Mohammed hangs back as Saddam and Qais approach three graves with small rectangular headstones at both ends. Qais offers three Iraqi flags to Saddam. Saddam takes one of the flags and drapes it over a grave. He places the second flag on another grave. Mohammed's keeping a lookout. Saddam lays the third flag onto the final grave.
There are faithful men who are faithful to their vows to God. There are those who die.
Excellency.
And there are those who are waiting to die.
We must go.
Qais helps Saddam back to his feet.
When we return to the hut, I will speak to the people. The fight must continue.
They make their way back into the woods, away from the graveyard. They usher away the solemn-looking Saddam. Inside the shack, he records a message using the basic tape recorder.
If you think you have killed Hudayn, Qusay, and Mustafa, we tell you, you are wrong. Because they are but part of the youth of our nation. All the youth of our nation and all the youth of Iraq will follow Uday, Qusay, and Mustafa into jihad. If Saddam Hussein had 100 sons other than Uday and Qusay, Saddam Hussein would have offered them on the same path, which is the path to jihad. Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Why are we risking our lives when nobody is listening?
Because we must.
He has no power anymore.
Yes, today he has no power. But what will happen tomorrow?
Cousin Adnan, I didn't see you there.
You were not supposed to. I was eavesdropping.
You've lost weight.
Funny. You are funny.
The portly Adnan leaves them alone.
We have no choice.
The Iraqi motto.
Mohammed gives Radman an intense look and taps him on the shoulder as he leaves. Radman looks thoughtfully at the tape Mohammed gave him. Allah climbs out of Saddam's emergency hole in the ground.
The fan is working. It's ready.
Excellency. Allah has finished the sanctuary.
It's not a sanctuary. It's a hole in the ground.
Do you want to have a look?
Will I be able to breathe?
The fan is working now.
Will I be able to breathe?
Yes, Your Excellency.
You try it first. Sit inside for 1 hour.
Kais looks questioningly at him, but Saddam's being serious. The sound grabs their attention. A plume of smoke rises on the horizon.
What was that?
An explosion, about 2 kilometers away.
Must be another bomb.
Another bomb?
There are reports of bombs at roadsides, knocking out American vehicles.
Do you know what this means, Kais? The Iraqis are fighting back. They are organized. At last. We must establish communication. It must be the Al-Farouq Brigades. I will need a report straight away. They will need to know that I'm here. I must devise a new battle plan. Get me some paper and a map immediately.
The others seem unsure.
I'm going to see what's going on.
Hamid, be careful. They are arresting every man old enough to shave. Ala. The president, he wants you to sit in the hall for 1 hour.
Me?
Yes, you.
Why?
To see if it's safe.
But it is safe.
Then it shouldn't be a problem, should it?
Kais! The map!
Ala looks at the hole and sighs deeply.
The search for former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein intensified today, with U.S. forces making several high-profile arrests in a series of early morning raids across Baghdad.
A 36-year-old man rumored to be a first cousin of one of Saddam's most trusted bodyguards. The man, who has been named as Adnan Abdullah Abid al-Husseid, was seized from his flat in central Baghdad in the early hours of yesterday evening and taken to the U.S. military detention center in Abu Ghraib, where he will be questioned, along with others, suspected of concealing information regarding the whereabouts of the former Iraqi president.
Allied sources say they are extremely hopeful that the arrests will provide the breakthrough they have been seeking in the search for Saddam Hussein. But as yet, they are no closer to locating the deposed Iraqi dictator.
I don't know anything. I swear, I don't know anything.
Saddam's sitting on the edge of his bed. He drinks a glass of water and checks his reflection in a mirror. His beard has become long and grey. Mohammed's walking up a narrow cobbled street. He finishes his cigarette and enters a house where a young woman's cooking.
Sarah?
Oh, Vivi, I can't believe it's you. Oh, where have you been? I have missed you so much.
I've missed you too, Habibti.
Are you all right? I've been so worried about you.
I'm fine.
Now Sarah's watching Mohammed eat.
You're hungry, huh?
I haven't tasted good food in weeks.
American soldiers burst in.
No!
Take
your damn hands away!
Stay away from
her!
Don't touch her!
Don't touch her!
Stay away!
The soldiers pin Mohammed down and force a black bag over his head. Kais is chopping onions.
The curfew has never stopped him before. What if he's been taken?
He'll come.
Kais stabs the wall in frustration.
If you went to see that woman in Baghdad again, I swear to God, I would cut his balls off.
We must get the boat ready.
Saddam opens up a footlocker and takes out several stacks of dollar bills.
Excellency?
He won't be back. Get the boat ready and ask the boy to look after it. We will cross the river after dark.
Kais nods and leaves the room.
Where are you living tonight?
The setting sun paints the sky in warm hues of orange over the Tigris River. Saddam's in his room. He picks up a copy of the Quran and puts it inside a bag. Then he shakes a bottle of mosquito repellent to see how much is left and puts that in the bag also. He closes the bag, then puts on a jacket. He takes a handgun from the bedside table, slings the bag over one shoulder, and heads for the door. On the way out, he kisses an Iraqi flag propped up against the wall. He glances around the room one last time, then leaves.
Where is the boy? He was supposed to wait for the boat.
Well, he probably got scared.
No, something has happened.
Mama, don't go. There are American patrols everywhere. They have big lights. They're gonna find you.
You have done well. Are they upstream or down?
Everywhere. Come with me. Swim with me. I can help you. I know the river.
Listen to me. You must go and hide yourself. Don't let the Americans find you. You must not speak of us ever. Do you understand? Now go. Go, my son.
Yalla, back to the hut.
The boy Ahmed swims out across the river whilst the others return to the hideout. Kais looks around and sees some headlights through the tall grass surrounding the hut. He runs back towards the hut. Saddam's in the bedroom.
They are coming.
You have seen them.
They're very close. I'm sure of it.
Saddam turns off the light in his room and runs outside with Kais. Allah and Kais help him into the emergency hole.
Give me a light.
Kais fumbles in his pocket and pulls out a lighter, which he gives to Saddam.
We'll come for you.
Kais and Allah slot the plug into the hole, plunging Saddam into darkness. Kais and Allah cover the hole with a rug, then disguise it with dry palm leaves. Saddam flicks open the lighter.
Where do we go?
The palm grove. Yalla. Yalla!
They flee towards the palm grove. Saddam's crouching in his confined chamber, the lighter flame flickering against his face. Kais and Allah discard their weapons into the bushes, then continue along the track. Saddam anxiously listens to the approaching forces and watches the air conditioner fan spin round. US soldiers are slowly creeping in formation through the tall grass towards the shack. The lighter becomes too hot, and Saddam drops it. He scrambles in the dark, trying to find it. He manages to find the lighter and sparks it up again. He takes the revolver out of his pocket and rests it on his lap. Scores of soldiers are advancing through the grass, hunched over, keeping low to the ground. One of the soldiers gives hand signals to the men behind him. Saddam glances up at the hatch to his chamber with dread. Through the eerie green glow of night vision goggles, the soldiers moving closer to the hideout. They move stealthily in tactical formations, covering each other as they advance. Saddam's lighter runs out of fuel.
For
He's alarmed by footsteps above him.
Sir?
The commander enters the shack. Looking around, he sees the footlocker filled with dollar bills and the Iraqi flag propped up against the wall.
Okay. Sir?
The soldier touches a pot on the stove.
It's still hot.
The commander nods.
Check the river bank.
Saddam's growing increasingly distressed. The soldiers are searching the riverbank. Alarmed by footsteps and voices above him, Saddam shuffles further into the corner of his chamber. The soldiers are scouring the area with their laser-mounted rifles. One soldier shines his light on a shape in the bushes. It's Allah, cowering in the undergrowth.
Please, get your hands up! Get your hands
don't
up!
Shoot.
Get up! Up!
Kais tries to escape, but he's surrounded.
Please, don't shoot! Okay.
They drag them back towards the hut.
Okay, let's bring them into the light. Come on!
Down!
Down!
Saddam, where?
A translator shouts, Saddam, where is Saddam? I have no idea, replies Kais. I'm a farmer. The translator says, we know he's here. We know you are hiding him. Where is he? Kais responds with, we're not hiding him. If I knew where he was, I would tell you and take your $25 million.
What's he saying?
He thinks he knows where Saddam is hiding.
We'll ask him where he's hiding.
Saddam, where is he? Hams, kilometers. He says he's hiding 5 kilometers from here.
Bullshit. He wants us to walk away. Yeah, that's total bullshit.
Okay, take the place apart. Come
yes,
on.
Sir.
We're looking for anything unusual, anything out of place. Come on, move.
Sir.
The soldiers search the hut, turning over all the furniture. Hearing the noises, Saddam moves deeper into his hole. The soldiers leave nothing untouched as they ransack the place. They pull the kitchen apart, searching every cupboard, opening every container. One soldier notices a box with exhaust fan, made in China, written on the front.
Sir?
He shows the commander the box.
Could be nothing, but this box is new.
He's here. Son of a bitch is here.
Saddam cocks his gun in anticipation, and a soldier finds a corner of the rug covering the chamber.
Sir?
They gather round the plug, covering the hole. Two soldiers start to remove it, and Saddam scrambles as far back into the chamber as he can. The plug is pulled free, revealing the chamber.
Okay, give it a short burst. And again.
No! Pop, get your hands up!
Saddam discards his weapon, emerges from the far corner of the chamber, and two soldiers pull him out.
I have some blood in my skin. I am the president of Iraq, not willing to negotiate.
What's he saying?
He says he's the president of Iraq, and he's willing to negotiate.
All call signs.
Saddam is held face first to the ground by a couple of soldiers. Now handcuffed and with a trimmed beard, Saddam's being led down a corridor by several masked men. A US soldier opens a gate, and the masked men lead Saddam to the gallows.
Saddam Hussein al-Takriti. This court finds you guilty of 5 separate counts of crimes against humanity. As a result, and in accordance with Iraqi law, the court had decided to sentence you to be hanged.
Long live Iraq!
Until you are dead.
Long live the glorious Iraqi people!
Take him away!
Allahu Akbar!
Take him away!
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Khudu! Khudu!
Long live the glorious Khudu. Iraqi people!
Saddam's face is solemn and emotionless, his eyes filled with conviction. Saddam Hussein was found guilty of crimes against humanity on November the 5th, 2006, and executed on December the 30th of the same year.